Right?
Good morning. Today's Daf of Baba Kama, Sadi Vav. We're on Sadi Hey, we're on Sadi Hey, and Amud Alpha at the bottom of the Amud. Let's get right into it. You steal an item, you return the item. It's really that simple. Right? You want to do good on your Gzela. First of all, you shouldn't have stolen in the first place, but okay, we're past that point. So now that you stole the item, so there's a mitzvah of the Torah. Ve'eshev is a Gzela. You have to return the item. And obviously, to do the mitzvah Bishle Musa, to do the mitzvah correctly, to fulfill this mitzvah, So you have to return the item as it is. In other words, you can't make usage of the item, and you can't benefit from the item, you can't gain from the item, and you certainly can't destroy the item. Right? Dvarim pshutim, obvious points, but okay, but you stole, so some of these points may not be so obvious. Anyway, so the halach is that you have to return the item. Now, if you don't have the item anymore, so then you have to make restitution on the value of the item based on what time period? The time that you stole it, right? Mishas HaGzela. Okay, so these are some of the basic points that we've been discussing since the beginning of the ninth parak. The truth of the matter is we discussed this also in the seventh parak as well, but here in the ninth parak, we also talked about shinui, the idea that if you make a physical change on the item, so now you have acquired the item via shinui, a point that the Mishnah made at the opening Mishnah here in the ninth parak of Baba Kama, and a point that when we finish this really long sugya that we're right in the middle of right now, so we're going to go back and we're going to revisit and we're going to try to give more definition to what exactly is shinui. You steal an item and let's say it grows or it doubles. How does an item double? So let's say you stole a pregnant animal. So you stole a pregnant animal. Obviously, it's the fact that it's pregnant increases its value. But then after you stole it, so it gave birth, mazel tov. So now you have two animals. So what do you have to do? So lefi Rebbe Meir, you have to return both animals. It's really that simple. Okay. And then there are the shitas, Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon. Now what I'm going to do is I'm not going to acknowledge them right now. In other words, because we're going to be focusing on Rebbe Meir for the next little while, and then we're going to come back to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. When we get there in the Gemara, I'm going to reintroduce them, and we'll do Rabbi Shimon and we'll do Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. According to Rabbi Meir, you return both animals. Okay, and why? So the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara offered two possibilities of why it is that according to Rabbi Meir, you have to return both animals. Possibility number one, says the Gemara, is that Shina Bim Kamalmeid. In other words, it's true that the animal underwent a change. In other words, a significant change. In other words, it doubled. The animal is no longer one animal; it's now two animals. But nevertheless, so you have not made any acquisition. Meaning, even though this is obviously a shinui, we went from pregnant animal to no longer pregnant animal. Plus, there's another animal alongside it. So that's true. But nevertheless, you have not acquired it because shinui is not kona. Now, again, the halacha is that shinui is kona, and there are a list. Remember, the beginning here, the ninth paragraph, we went through a list of five tanaim who are of the position that shinui is not kona, otherwise stated shinu bim koma omeid. And so maybe that's Reb Meir. Now, it is odd, by the way, just a parenthetical note, that when we listed together all the tanaim who hold shinu bim koma omeid, we didn't add Reb Meir in that list. Okay, close parentheses. If you got that, great. If not, that's fine. Anyway, so that's one possibility. The other possibility is that, no, it's just simply a kanas. It's a penalty given to the goslin. You stole the animal. Yes, it's true you acquired it via shinui, but in other words, we don't want you to get away with that. In other words, being able to go ahead and take that second animal. And so therefore, as a kanas, as a penalty, even though me'ikar din you've acquired it, nevertheless, you're going to be returning the original animal and you're going to be returning the baby as well. It's a kanas. Good. So this is the question that the Gemara raised within the Shita of Rabbi Meir, and the conclusion of the Gemara is that it's a kanas. Good. Now, the conclusion that it's a kanas, by the way, I'm simplifying. It's not as simple as I just presented it, but it's okay. In other words, I'm going to present it in its simple version. It's a kanas. On that, the Gemara asks the following question. Ibayilan. So we're going to pick it up in the Gemara now in Sadi Hamad Aleph, and we are towards the bottom of Sadi Hamad Aleph, about a dozen lines from the bottom. Okay, last four words of the line are Ibailan Hachi Ibailan. I'm sorry. Kika Ibailan Hachi Ibailan. Here's our question, meaning, so we are going to be asking a question within the sheet of Rebbe Meir. We know it's a kanas that you have to return both animals. Ella, the Gemara wants to know, here's the following. So, Kika Ibailan Hachi Ibailan. Ki kanis bemezit aval bishogig lo kanis odima fil bishogig nami kanis. Okay. So now there's a kanas that you have to return both animals. So this kanas is going to be in a case of mezid, that's for sure, meaning if you intentionally stole. What about a case of shogeg? Okay. Would Reb Meir also impose such a knas by shogeg as well, that you have to return the animal and whatever shevach it produces, you have to return that as well? In other words, are we going to penalize the person even if it was a case of shogeg? Now, case of shogeg, by the way, is a little bit strange. It's a little bit odd. Meaning, what exactly is a case of theft by shogeg? Yeah. Hold that thought. That's going to be answered momentarily. So, Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, consider the following, and that is chamisha kovim mina mechurarin. When you have an outstanding obligation against somebody, so generally speaking, you go ahead and you collect your obligation. You collect your obligation from assets that he's holding. That's nechasim b'nei chorin. And on occasion, you're going to be able to collect also from properties, even properties that were sold. That's called a lien. It's called a shibud. However, certain obligations, however, are not going to have a lien attached to it. Certain obligations are going to be free of any lien. In other words, and the only thing you're going to be able to collect are only assets that he has on hand. And they are, ve'elohein, peros, shevach, peros. Okay. Category 1 and 2 is peros and shevach, peros. Please wait. We're going to explain what that means momentarily. Hamakaba loves lazon ben ishto bas ishto. Number 3. I know I just jumped. I skipped 1 and 2. I didn't skip it. In other words, we're going to come back to it. Number 3, you marry a woman and she's coming into the marriage with young children. And she would like to know that you're going to support her young children. In other words, they're not your children. Me'ikar adin, you're not obligated to support them. You want to be a nice guy, that's fine, but you're not obligated to do so. So she would like you to contract that you're going to go ahead and you're going to feed them, you're going to support them. And you do, and you contract. That is a kind of obligation where now they can make a demand on you. In other words, you contracted that you're going to feed them. Now they can make a demand on that you're going to have to pay. In other words, if let's say you default and you don't pay, so they're going to be able to take you to court and sue you. But what they can't do is that they can't attach that obligation to any property. In other words, that is going to be an unsecure obligation. Okay. The reason why, by the way, is because it's mizonos. And mizonos is not a finite amount. And so therefore, what we don't do is that we don't attach a lien to obligations that don't have a finite setting. And the reason for that is actually really simple. We want to protect buyers. Okay. You've heard me say this before, right? This is a constant theme throughout Shas, and that is buyer protection program. Meaning we want buyers to know that when they buy something, they're buying with a certain level of confidence. They're going to do the due diligence when they buy property in order to make sure that there are no outstanding obligations and liens against those properties so they can buy property free and clear. So in other words, what we want to do is we want to make their due diligence like easier. And so therefore, if there are obligations, outstanding obligations against the seller that are finite, that you can research and discover. But something like mizonos, which does not have an end and is not finite, so over there, for him to be able to go ahead and engage and do the risk analysis, am I going to be buying this property even though now there could be an obligation outstanding later? That's too much. So therefore, once the obligation is not finite, like mizonos, so therefore there is no lien attached to that. Good, that's number 3. Number 4, v'gechov shein bo achrayos. And I know the Gemara uses the word get over here just simply means contract. Right? In other words, let's say you have a contract and ain't bachrayos. In other words, even though it's a contracted note, it clearly states, however, that there's not going to be any security. Nothing will be securing this obligation. This will be an unsecure loan. And ksuvasisha shein bachrayos. And the same thing is going to be true regarding ksuvasisha, where it's an unsecure ksuvasisha. And man shamas le damar achrayos latao sofer hu Rebbe Meir. First and foremost, we're going to establish that this is going like Rebbe Meir. Why? Because when you have a note and it's not secured, it doesn't have shibud written in it. So does that mean that it's unsecured? So Rebbe Meir will tell you that's correct. Meaning Rebbe Meir will tell you that when you're reading a note, you have to read it word for word. And whatever's missing, it's not a mistake. It's not an error. It's not a scribal error. If there is no achrayus written in the note, that means that there's no achrayus. Okay, so we're just establishing that this is going like Rebbe Meir. V'ketani peros v'shevach peros. Now, okay, so like I mentioned, the end of yesterday's shiur, right? This is a long proof, but nevertheless, let's go down this road. So we just quoted that there are 5 times where you have an obligation, but it's unsecure, and you can't collect against properties that were sold. You can only collect with assets that are on hand. Good. Nechasim v'nechorin. And we also know that the author of this brisa is, in fact, Rebbe Meir, because achrayas lav tov sofer hu. Also good. Now, We go to category 1 and 2, which I glossed over, and we go back and we try to explain what they are. Now, Shevach Peres Hechidami. Now, what exactly does that mean, Shevach Peres? It must mean the following. So what you did is you stole a field from somebody, and then the stealer of the property turned around and sold it. Now, what the buyer did is that a buyer improved the property. Now, what happened was is that the property was taken away from him correctly. In other words, there was a original owner to the property, and so he is rightfully able to go ahead and recollect his property that was stolen from him. Now, the buyer, what is he going to do? The buyer is going to go back to the seller, who happens to be a thief. And we're not saying that by, you know, just simply by name calling. He literally is a thief who stole the property and then sold it. So now what the buyer is going to do is the buyer is going to go back to the seller and say, hey, interesting, you sold me a stolen property. And the owner took it back. So now, obviously, what I'm interested in is in reimbursement. So you're going to reimburse me for the purchase price. That part's easy. Oh, but you know what? Right, there was improvement in the property as well. You're going to reimburse me for that as well. So kishu gove es a keren minechas mishubadim and es a shevach minechas minechorin. So when it comes to the principal, the purchase price of the property, so now he's entitled to reimbursement. And that entitlement, that obligation now that is owed from the seller to the buyer, okay, I know this gets confusing, but if you're following well, that obligation now, so that's secured obligation, meaning that when the seller sold the property, he sold it with insurance. That if something were to happen to it, I'm going to reimburse you. Something happened. The original owner took it back. So now the seller is going to have to pay for that purchase price. And when we say pay for that purchase price, that's a secured obligation. So even properties that he owned are going to be encumbered to that obligation. But when we get to the shevach, that shevach is not secured. That shevach is unsecured. So in other words, if the seller has money and he has assets to pay for the shevach, fine. Otherwise, no. So
the seller over here is the gosling.
The seller is the gosling. That's absolutely accurate. That's correct. Now,
but if he has b'nei chorin, even the field itself, you could only take from b'nei chorin, not from shubodim.
Okay, let's just keep it as simple. The buyer now is going to be able to be reimbursed for the purchase price. That's a karen, and on top of that, shevach as well.
Right.
Okay. Good. So now, but the shevach is only coming from b'nei chorin, not mishubadim. Yes. Now, the asabal arav v'shakal arav v'shavchei. So now. Please give me a moment. So the Baal Ara now is going to come, and what is the Baal Ara going to do? He's going to be taking both the land, and he's going to be taking the shevach as well. Meaning, why is the buyer going ahead and demanding that he get reimbursed for karka and for shevach? It's because when the original owner comes and collects, he's collecting not only his property, but he's also collecting the shevach as well. Now, my love. Now, this halacha now that we just went over. Okay, so you're collecting now shevach peros, and you're collecting shevach peros in the scenario that we just laid out. Please don't ask me to repeat the scenario. So you're now going to be able to collect shevach peros from the scenario that we just pointed out. Now, the scenario that we just outlined, that we just highlighted, is a case of what? Is it a case of shogig or is it a case of mazid? This is what we're unsure about, and this is what the Gemara now is proposing. My love, be'ama arz lo yada de karkin exels or in an exels. So ve'afil ha'chi kasi bal karka v'shakal ar v'shavchei u'shmamina b'shogeg namikanis. So in other words, so maybe we're talking about where he doesn't know whether karka is an exels or in an exels. A machlokis in the Gemara in Baba Kama. Now I know we're learning Baba Kama. This machlokis is coming up later in the 10th parak of the Masechta. And so over here, it could very well be that the person who purchased it didn't know the halacha. And nevertheless, so there's going to be a knas. And the knas is that not only are you going to be giving back the keren, but you're also going to have to return the shevach as well. So what we're trying to do now is at least wrap our head around a case where it's gzela b'shogeg. And the shogeg over here, I admit it's a little bit funny. The shogeg is, I don't know whether or not karka is nigzel, it's running in nigzels. So Amri Lo, so the Gemara says no. So, but lokech tamachachem v'yadam. No, the lokech is a tamachachem. The lokech knows. So the so the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, so it is not a case of shogig, it's a case of mezid. It's funny, by the way, we use the word tamachachem, we're using it over here just simply meaning knowledgeable. Tamachachem is not speaking to his midos, because he's right. He's purchasing something that he has no right to purchase. It's a stolen property. So he purchased that stolen property. So in other words, the property is going to be taken away from him and the shevach as well. And it's a kanas, but it's a kanas going on a case of mezid, not necessarily shogeg. Okay, so tashma.
It was the shogeg part over here, the fact that he was...
What the Gemara thought was shogeg is whether or not karkas and exalus are in an exalus. He didn't know. That's it. That's the shogeg. Tashma, litzvah lo adam, itzvah shachar, shachar itzvah adam, Rabbi Meir Omer. No, say lo demet zimro. Okay, beautiful. Here we have a case of gzela b'shogeg. Okay. Right, this is a much easier case. Right, we can all now relax just a little bit. Here, what happened was, is that you were commissioned. Right, you're a dyer, D-Y-E-R. So you're a dyer, and somebody gave you wool and says, here, go ahead, dye it, and dye for me black. Okay, so you go back home, and you have totally forgotten now that your instructions were to dye it black, and you dyed red. Okay, so this is gzela b'shogeg. Now, I know it's a funny term to use to describe it, but it is. In other words, you took something that didn't belong to you, and you effectively rendered a change that he didn't want. Okay, so it's gzela b'shogeg. Now, according to Reb Meir, what do you have to do? So, no sin lo demet simro. So now what you have to do is you have to pay just the tzemer. So, demet simro in demet simro shvacha lo. Now, over here, the only thing you have to make restitution for is the wool, but you don't have to make restitution for any shevach, for any improvement. The improvement that you get to keep. So the Gemara says, so this is a case of shogeg, meaning you didn't mean to give it the wrong color. That was a mistake. Yet you're a gazlan. You have to make restitution, but you only have to make restitution on the keren, not on the shevach. And we know it's Shitas Rabbi Meir because it says Rabbi Meir. We can now safely conclude, correctly conclude, that according to Rabbi Meir, the kanas that the gazlan has to return, keren and shevach, is only in the case of mezid, not in the case of shogeg. Ad kan. Okay, that took us now through Shitas Rabbi Meir, and now we're moving on. Okay, so just in quick summation, even though the Gemara spent a lot of time on the Shita Rabbi Meir, from a summary standpoint, it's really easy. You're a gazlan. You steal an item. You steal an item, shevach, an improvement in the item. The animal that you stole was pregnant. The animal now gave birth in your possession. Now it's not one animal, now it's two animals. So what do you have to do? Really, you have to return both animals. Why? It's a kanas. Okay, it's so much easier to summarize. And the kanas now, the kanas tells us that even though Meikar Adin, you have acquired it through shinui, nevertheless, the kanas is that you have to return. They have to return the animal, and you have to return the baby as well. And any shevach, you have to return. And this kanas is only in the case of mezid, not in the case of shogeg. Is there the case of gzela v'shogeg? The answer is yes, there is. Okay, ad kan. We move along. Rabbi Yehuda amar gzela choseres beinei, Rabbi Shimon amar ro naso ki'ilu shumu atzo bekesef. Okay, now we have the two next shitas in the Braisa. The Braisa was reported to us on Sadi Hamad Aleph. Now we're on Sadi Hamad Beis. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both say that basically what do you do? You approximate, you estimate. An assessment is done. Meaning, what did you steal? A pregnant cow. Okay, now it's no longer pregnant, gave birth. Okay, so but what do you have to return? A pregnant cow. Now, can't put the bread back in the oven. Okay, so in other words, but the point is that you're gonna get your appraisers over here, and they're going to assess how much the animal was valued at in its pregnant state when you stole it, and that's how much you're gonna have to pay. And who says that? Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda. And then it only begs the next question of the Gemara, which is, if Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda are both saying it, so why don't they both say it? Meaning, I'm rereading. Rabbi Huda Amar Gzela Choseres Beinei.
You give back the cow.
You give back the cow. And Rabbi Shimon Amar Rono So Ki'ilu Shumat So Bekesef. And you do an assessment. Now, my Beinaihu. So the Gemara wants to know, effectively, they're effectively saying the same thing. What's the difference between these two shitas? Amar Zvid Shevach Al Gabi Gzela Kemifelgi Rabbi Huda Savar. The Nigzal Have Rabbi Shimon Savar De Gazlan Have. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the difference between them, and that's Shevach Al Gabi Gzela. And here we're going to get to our next really long sugya of today. Shevacha gabi gzela. What does that mean? I stole an item. Let's say I stole a cow. Cow was not pregnant. And now after I stole the cow, so then I get the cow pregnant. Right? I get a bull and I impregnate the cow. And now the cow produces babies. Okay, so now I understand I have to return the cow. That part's obvious. And what about the baby? I didn't steal a pregnant cow. In other words, I stole the cow. And then basically I got peros. It produced dividends. In other words, I'm the one who manufactured the dividends.
By using my cow.
Right, correct. By using the Nigzal's cow. And so do I have to go ahead now and return that gzela? And the Gemara says, that's the machlokus between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rav Zvid, that's the machlokus. Rabbi Yehuda says it belongs to the Nigzal, and Rabbi Shimon says it belongs to the Gazan. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, so easy to explain. Okay, yeah, I could do this relaxed. And that is, whose cow was it? It doesn't belong to me. I'm just a Gazan. It belongs to him. And now what do I do? I impregnate the cow, I get it to produce babies, and now, okay, thank you so much, here you go. Here's your cow back. Wait one second. In other words, you used my cow to produce babies? No, in other words, you're going to give me the cow and you're going to give me the babies. That's ridiculous. Okay, that's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon's basically, we are rewarding the Gazan? The Gazan stole a cow and now used it to produce babies and now returns the cow and you get to keep the babies? What's going on over here? So as it will become clear in the Gemara as we go through that through the Sugya, it does seem unreasonable. It seems unreasonable. But what do the Chachamim want? They want to incentivize tshuva. In other words, it'll be a lot easier for the Gazan to do tshuva if he gets to keep the babies. Now, I know, in other words, it's kind of funny. Because moments earlier, we were on the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, we're going to penalize the Gazan. You're going to return the cow. You're going to return the baby. I know you're a Kone Bishinui, but Knas. That's Rabbi Meir. And now, as we are explaining the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, we are like all the way on the other side. Philosophically, hashkafically, where you know what? Let's be easier on the Gazan. Let's make this as easy as possible. You know what? You just return the cow. You get to keep the babies, right? So takanas hashavim. It's very similar. The Gemara is going to use this language. So I'm not manufacturing language over here. The Gemara is going to use the language. It is a form of takanas hashavim. Just right. I'm just the contrast between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is rather remarkable in terms of hashkafically. What are we doing on behalf of the Gazan?
Similar, if you steal $100 and you'll give back 90, keep 10. So I encourage you doing tshuva.
Okay, it's not the same, but okay. It's not the same. In other words, you're returning the Karen, you're just keeping the Shevach to yourself. Okay. Correct. Right? And I'm thinking the same. In other words, in this philosophy, you may be encouraging this kind of behavior. Okay, I'm with you. No, okay. Okay, Rabbi Shimon suffered the Gazan. Now, Rav Papa Amar Dekulei Amar. Now, Rav Papa tells us the following, and that is no, meaning you almost got this right. Rav Papa says to Rav Zvid, but you didn't get it right, and that is Shevach Shal Gabe Gzela de Gazan Have. No, Shevach Shal Gabe Gzela belongs to the Gazan. Everyone agrees that the Gazan is going to be entitled to the Shevach, which again is rather amazing. But according to Rav Papa, everyone who subscribes to that. I say everybody. I mean Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, we're done with Rabbi Meir. In other words, Rabbi Meir is the sheet of Kenas. We're done with him. But within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, Kulei Alma, everyone's of the position. It belongs to the Gazan. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Shevach Shal Gabi Gzela Kulei the Gazan Have, and Rabbi Shimon Savar Lamechel Lushish Lorvi Yehuda Shakil Gazan. And the only question now outstanding is the following: how much does the Gazan get? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gazan gets it all. Again, remarkable, but he gets it all. And according to Rabbi Shimon, no, he's a partner. In other words, he gets shares. Now, how much shares does he get? Whatever the normal sharecropping arrangement is. Now, granted, by the way, that's a funny way to describe the Gazan, a sharecropper. Wouldn't exactly use that terminology. We're not using the terminology. He's a Gazlan. We're not changing what he is. But in other words, in terms of understanding the arrangement of Shevach, he's going to be able to collect shares of that Shevach that he produces. And again, just understanding, it's because We're going to try to incentivize him to do tshuva. You stole, return the principal. And you know what, the shevach? You'll get a share of it. Tanan. Okay, so, according to Rav Papa, both according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the gazan gets, it's just a question of how much. According to Rabbi Yehuda, gets everything, meaning all shevach. And according to Rabbi Shimon, a fraction of the shevach. Okay, whatever the normal sharecropper's rate is. So now we learned in the Mishnah. So Yalda in Lo Yalda Hadrabeine. Okay, so we go back to our Mishnah. And in the Mishnah, what did we learn? You stole a pregnant cow. It gives birth. So now you pay Kishas Hagzela. Now that means to say the Dikr is really simple. It gave birth, meaning Yalda in, but Lo Yalda Hadrabeine. So what you're going to do, however, is that you are going to be, if the animal did not give birth and it's just simply pregnant, so you're going to be returning the animal as is. Now, Bishlam le Rav Zvi Damar Shevach Shal Gabi Gzela Dinigzah Havei le Rabbi Yehuda Hamani Rabbi Yehuda Hi. Now, in the Rav Zvid presentation of the Machlokas, so who is our Mishnah? Where the Shevach goes back to the Nigzah? According to Rav Zvid, very good. In other words, our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rav Papa Damar Gazan Havei Hamani Loka Rabbi Yehuda Veloka Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rav Papa, everyone's of the position that the Gazan gets a cut of the Shevach. It's just a question of how much, all of it or a fraction of it. But the Gazan gets a share, and meanwhile, our Mishnah says that it all goes back to the Nigzal. So Amalar Rav Papa Hu Adin Afil Lo Yalda Nami Kishas Gzel Hu Demeshalim V'Hadik Tani Yalda I Did Nasiv Reishi Yalda Nasiv Seifi Nami Yalda. So what Rav Papa will tell you is, don't get caught up in the language of the Mishnah. I know the Mishnah gives the example of Yalda, but Hu Adin, even if the animal did not give birth, if there's Shevach is going to be retained by the Nigzal. Again, how much? Depends. If you ask Rabbi Huda, all of it. If I ask Rabbi Shimon, a share of it. But in other words, and the fact that the Mishnah only uses the words Yalda is because of Reisha Seifa symmetry. But the truth of the matter is, Afilu Lo Yalda. Shevach still is going to be by the Gazan.
If she was pregnant when it was stolen and is still pregnant when he has to return it, why should the Gazan get anything?
Because the assumption is that it went up in value. In other words, it was more pregnant, the animal got larger, there's Shevach. The Gemara is assuming that there's still some Shevach. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Papa, Rabbi Shimon Amir Rono, Sokilu, Hishuma, Etzal, Bekesav, Lamechza, Lushish, Lerevia. And good. And then the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says exactly like the way Rav Papa explained it. That according to Rabbi Shimon, the Gazan is a sharecropper. Again, I'm saying sharecropper just in terms of he is entitled to shares of Shevach. And he's going to be collecting shares of Shevach. A quarter, a third, a half. Again, depending on whatever the rate is. The normal rate is, he's going to get a share. Okay. And that's exactly the way Rav Papa presented it. Am Rav Ashi ki avin em bei Rav Kahana yi bai ilan le Rabbi Shimon damar lemechza le shishul revia hu de shakol gazlan ki mesalkin alei b'demei mesalkin alei oduma mi besar shakol. Okay, so within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, now we have the following question. My gazlan stole. Okay. I don't know why he became mine, but my gazlan stole. And then what he did is that he created shevach with the item that he stole. So in other words, he stole an animal, impregnated the animal, and got the animal to produce babies. Good. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, so now what happens? So the animal itself, the keren itself, obviously goes back to the nigzal. Good. Now, as far as the babies are concerned, so we're going to split them. Now, when we split them, so how do we split them? In other words, is he really a partner in them, in which he's entitled to real shares? In other words, flesh. Is that one way to see it? Alternatively, no. He is a shareholder in that he's got percentages of it. But in other words, what you're going to be able to do, the Nigzal, is you're going to be able to buy him out of his shares. How much of a partner is he in it? Okay, where he actually has a real partnership in it. He's got real shares in it. Or it's just simply an ability to afford him the rights that you can buy him out. The Upashana Mihad Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Shlosha. So Shaman Lama Shevach Malin Osam Bedamin Veilohain. And the Gemara says, and we know the answer based on a statement made by Shmuel. Rav Nachman quotes Shmuel. And that is that there are three occasions in Halacha, and Tosu says, I know we just said the number three. Don't get caught up in the number three. Meaning there are three examples that were given, but the truth of the matter is that whenever we're appraising Shevach, we're always going to use this formula, and that is buyout, the buyout formula. So Shemin HaShevach, Malin Osam B'damim. So, and that means to say that in a situation where there's going to be Shevach, so what you're able to do now is buy, in other words, take the Shevach and buy out whatever percentages he has in it. And they and that is Bechor L'Pasha, Balchov L'Lokech, and Balchov L'Yisomim. Okay, and without getting too involved, we're behind in the daf. The Rashis over here are long. I'll say it simply. I'm going to oversimplify. Okay, forgive me for not doing this better. But basically, the idea is that there was an estate or there was an obligation, and after the obligation was set, Shevach was created. There was an improvement that was created after the father died or after the obligation was set. And so now there is more. So that entitlement now to more. So in other words, it's not part of the principal estate, but in other words, it's addition. So now what the brothers can do to the oldest and say is that, look, you have shares in it. We're going to buy you out of your shares. Okay. And the same thing is true regarding the estate, right? In other words, there's Shevach. We're going to be able to buy you out of that Shevach. Okay. Again, it's more detailed than that. I'm really oversimplifying it. The point is, however, is that when there's Shevach and a person has shares in those Shevach, you can buy the person out.
You cannot take a piece of carpet.
Right, correct. You have the right to buy him out. Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Mi Amar Shmuel Balchov Lokech, Yavlei Yitzvah Shevach, L'Amar Shmuel Balchov Govah Yitzvah Shevach. So now the Gemara says, oh, I'm a little bit confused because I also know that according to Shmuel, you collect Shevach. So, wait one second. You just told me that you get to buy out Shevach, and now we're talking about collecting Shevach. It's confusing. So, Amrle lo kasha kam b'shevach ha-magiel ha-ktefayim kan b'shevach she-magiel ha-ktefayim. So, the Gemara says, well, there's Shevach and then there's Shevach. And I'm sure that cleared everything up. In other words, let's talk about property. I know we're talking about animals and babies, but let's talk about property. What's the Shevach by property? Obviously, it's the growth. In other words, there's land, and obviously now there's growth that's growing on the land. So if the sheaves have not reached shoulder length, so those sheaves are still considered part and parcel of the land. That is no longer considered, that's not yet considered Shevach. And so now when collecting property, meaning you have a lien against that property, you're now going ahead and taking that property. If the sheaves have not arrived at a certain height, the ketefayim, so now you're going to be able to take it because it doesn't qualify as Shevach yet. That Shmuel calls it Shevach, but okay, notwithstanding. Okay, it's soon to be Shevach. However, once the sheaves arrived at the point of Ktefayim, now those sheaves qualify as Shevach. And now, what the owner of that field can say is, wait one second. You'll take the property, you have a lien on the property. Those sheaves, I'm going to take those sheaves. But what I'll do is that, in other words, I will pay you for those sheaves. So Amar Leih v'hamaisim b'chol yom v'kamag b'shmol afilu shevach ha-megil ha-ktefayim. So the Gemara says, okay, but I was in Shmuel's courtroom and I saw on numerous occasions where you had defaults and now the creditor comes and is collecting. I saw Shmuel award the creditor. I saw him award him the property and I saw him award him the sheaves as well, and the sheaves were tall. They were over katef length, and I saw Shmuel award all that to the creditor. So Amar Leih lo kasha had the masik be kishir ara v'shivcha had the lo masik be ela kishir ara. So the Gemara says, okay, I know. But in other words, when you were in the courtroom, you got to pay even better attention to what's going on. In other words, what happened was, is that, did you see how much the obligation was? Meaning that it happens to be that when the creditor came in, so he had an outstanding obligation of, I'm throwing out numbers, he had an outstanding obligation of $1,000. And the land was only worth $800. So when Shmuel said, okay, we're going to reward the creditor, not only the land, but also the Shevach as well, it's because the Shevach was just simply part of the settlement so that the creditor will go ahead and get fully reimbursed. That's all. And the only time that Shmuel will tell you that the sheaves are going to be able to be retained by the owner of the property is only when the sheaves are not needed to pay the debt. In other words, if the land is enough to satisfy the debt, and then the sheaves are extra. Now on those, so now you could do your settlement on the sheaves separately. But when Shmuel went ahead and awarded the sheaves, it's because it needed those sheaves in order to just simply approach the amount of debt that needed to be settled. Okay. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. When you are a buyer of property, and along comes a creditor with a lien, and he's looking to collect, so we have a basic machlokas, right? Where is it? It's in Ksufas. Okay. The Gemara in Ksufas Daf Tzadi Aleph. Okay, it's not my Bekiyas. I checked. I checked the side. So but anyway, the Gemara in Ksufas in Tzadi Aleph has the following debate. If you now, after having purchased the land, are being approached by the creditor who has a valid lien, so are you able to say to him, I really like this land, and I know you have a lien, and I know you are entitled to satisfaction, I'm going to buy you out. Can you, the buyer, buy out the creditor? Yes or no?
By force?
Yes. In other words, what does the creditor want?
Money.
Correct. And so, is a creditor who has a lien on the property, can he take the property, or can the buyer say to him, here's the money, here's money? And this is a machlokas in the Gemara and Ksuvos. So the Gemara says over here, if I subscribe to the view that the creditor can take the property against the will of the buyer, fine. So then I understand this whole discussion. But if I subscribe to the view that the buyer has the right to buy out the creditor, pay him with money instead of relinquishing the property, so if that's true, so now why can't the buyer just simply say to the creditor, look, if I had money, I'd buy you out with money. I don't have money, but I do have shevach, so at least allow me to keep part of it. So I'm like, hachem my skin could go into shavini alei apotiki da'amar lelo yelecha paron elamidza. So the Gemara says, okay, even if I subscribe to that viewpoint, the case under review over here was that the land was apotiki. Apotiki is not just a lien; it's a specific lien. It's a specified lien, and the apotiki is that when the lender lent money, he said to the borrower, it's not going to be this general lien that you have, but in other words, we're going to identify a particular parcel of land. That land is going to be satisfaction of debt in the event of default. And now there was default. Now in an apotiki, even though somebody bought the apotiki property, I can now turn to the buyer and say, I'm entitled to that land. And even though normally a buyer can go ahead and say, here's money, don't take the land, but not in the case of apotiki. In the case of apotiki, he's not entitled to do so.
Isn't apotiki publicized in a more than the usual way for the regular land?
Right. In other words, right, we have, again, you're going back to my point of buyer protection, meaning we generally want to protect buyers. So I don't know the exact process, but I assume this is public knowledge. I assume it is, but I'm not sure. Okay. Amaravo. Okay. Oh, fantastic. Okay. Adkan, that took us to the end of that sugya. That was a difficult sugya, I have to admit. Okay, where are we right now? No, I say we're at the end of it. No, we're not at the end of it. Sorry, wishful thinking. Okay, we're almost at the end of it. Okay, so what just happened is the following, and that is Lefi Rav Papa. You're a gazan, you stole an item. You made shevach with that item. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, you the gazan get to keep shevach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, all the Shevach, and according to Rabbi Shimon, part of the Shevach. Now, why? That's an important question, which the Gemara really never spelled out yet. But the reason why, I said it, but I'm saying it because I know the upcoming Gemara, it's Takanas HaShavim. It's a way to incentivize the Gazan to do tshuva. In other words, if what he's going to have to return is not only the Keren, but also the Shevach as well, even though when you think about it, meaning that's, of course, it sounds like that's the right thing that should be done, but the Gazan's going to think to himself, if I'm going to have to do all that, you know what? I'm a lost cause. I'm not doing it. So as a way of incentivizing tshuva, so we're telling him you can keep shevach. How much shevach? Rabbi Yehuda says all of it, and Rabbi Shimon says a part of it. And then we spent a lot of time, the last 10 minutes, going over that part that he's able to keep. In other words, is he keeping it itself? Meaning, is he actually keeping percentage of the shevach, or is he just simply have rights to the shevach in which it can be bought out? Okay. Amar Rava.
He doesn't really mean that you're doing tshuva for Kodesh Baruch. He said that you're giving back what you took should balance out with the person you fellow.
Okay.
I mean, that's not called tshuva, what we've been saying, that's not tshuva, because you know, you're facilitating you with tshuva, meaning, okay, because you want the property to be returned.
Okay.
That's all it is. Now, not knowing with tshuva, you're not doing tshuva, you're a giver, that's not the point.
Okay.
You're high of Shemayim what you did.
I'm not right again. He's not going to get on. He's not going to get honored at the dinner. But in other words, but you get no credit. I disagree. But okay.
You get credit. The fact that you returned the property.
Yeah.
As far as what you felt, you straightened out.
Yeah.
But restored, what, you know, whatever. But as far as you did something wrong, you didn't deserve.
That's going to be between him and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm not going to get involved. Okay, fine. Amar Rava Gazav Ishbiach Macher Gazav Ishbiach Horish Mashi Ishbiach Macher Mashi Ishbiach Horish. Okay, so let's say now you were gozel and you were mashbiach. You sold and you were I'm sorry, gozel v'ishbiach machar, gozel v'ishbiach horish. So mashi ishbiach machar, mashi ishbiach horish. So in other words, whatever the shevach was is in fact sold. Whatever the shevach was is in fact going to be handed down to the next generation. In other words, the lokeach is actually going to be able to make a purchase on it. So Bayi Rava, good. So Yishbiach Lokeach Mahu. So now the Gemara says, let's ask the following question. You have a gazan who stole an item. And now, after having stolen the item, he went ahead and he sold it. And now the buyer of the item created now Shevach in that item. Is the buyer now of that item going to be entitled to the same rights as the gazan? Now, I know it's funny, by the way. We're talking about gazlan rights, but that's exactly the whole discussion that we're having over here. The gazlan has rights to shevach. Again, Rabbi Huda would say all of it, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be part of it. Let's assume right now this... Let's assume right now that this question is going lefi shitas Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that part is deliberate amongst the Rishonim. Let's assume it's going like Rabbi Shimon. So now the question becomes the following. When you're a gazan and you have now the shevach rights, you're entitled to a percentage of shevach, and now you go ahead and you turn and you sell it to somebody, is that somebody also going to be gaining the same rights that you had as a gazan? The Gemara says, that's a good question. By Rava, that's Rava's question. Hishbiach lokech mahu. Basta debayad depashim mamachar rishon l'sheni kol tzuchush tavaliyado. Good. And so a line in the Gemara, which the Gemara tells us numerous times, and that is that when you sell an item and you had rights into the item, you're selling item plus rights. Whatever rights you have in the item is sold as part of the package. So if you have certain rights in the item, so he gets those rights as well. And I know it's rather remarkable. I'm just amazed at basically what we're saying. Gazlan's got rights, again, according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Rabbi Huda. Gazlan's got rights. In other words, he's entitled to a percentage of Shevach. Those rights now, in turn, are going to be sold to the lokeach.
Because he gets
the shva
because of tshuva.
It's amazing.
Okay. So how can you give that to a buyer?
That's Rav is asking exactly that question. But then, in other words, he's poshet, meaning it's a zchus. I know it's a funny zchus, but it's a zchus nevertheless.
Did the gazlan actually make improvements?
No, in this particular case, the gazlan didn't make improvements, meaning the lokeach made improvements. Right. But the point is that the lokeach purchased those rights. So those improvements now, so again, the item is going to be taken away from him. Right? The original owner gets the item back. But now what the mocher gets to keep, what the lokeach gets to keep now is the percentage of the shevach. Why? Because the gazan had those rights. And the gazan sold those rights to him. Okay? I know, it's remarkable. Bai Rava, Yishbecho v'kochav emahu. So let's say the gazan was a guy. So now, is he going to be able to keep shevach? So Amalei Rav Acha Midifla Ravina Takanta Lo VeKochav Nekav VeNavin. So the response is very simple, and that is this takana. This takana was made for a Jew. This takana was not made for a guy. In other words, right? Simply na, not applicable. In other words, the takana is only for Jews. So Amalei Lo Tzricha Kigon Dezav Nali Yisrael. So the Gemara says no. In other words, we're talking about a case where the guy was a thief and he sold it to a Jew. So sof haba machmas ove kocham, mari kove kocham. The Gemara says, yeah, but I don't care. Meaning, in other words, the guy wasn't given this takana. He doesn't have the zechuyos. So if the guy doesn't have zechuyos, so what did he sell to the Jew? There was no zechuyos to sell to the Jew. So Lord Shrikha Kagon, the Gazal Yisrael, Vizabnini Ale, Vishbicho, Vikocham, Vahadar, Vikocham, Vizabnil Yisrael, Maimi, Amin, and Kevin, the Mikari Yisrael, Vahadar Yisrael, Abdi Rabban Takano, Dilma, Kevin, Dika, Vikocham, Vem, so Lo Abdullah Rabban Takanta. Okay, so the question was that the Jew stole. So the Jew now is given these Zechuyos. Then the Jew went ahead and sold it to a guy. The guy was Mashbiach. Then the guy turned around and sold it to another Jew. So now I got a Jew on the front end, I got a Jew on the back end. And it's true, I had a guy in the middle. So does the guy now take away those Zechuyos? Because he's a middle party in this long transaction. Teiku, the Gemara says, great question. And that question we're going to leave unresolved. Okay, a rather remarkable discussion here in today's daf in Baba Kama Tzadi Vav, in which the Gazlan who steals and makes Shevach in the item that he stole. So he's afforded now the rights to keep either all or part of the Shevach, all according to Rabbi Yehuda, part according to Rabbi Shimon. Again, this is the way Rabbi Papa presents it, but the Gemara favors this presentation. And that now means that according to Rabbi Shimon, so now the Gazlan is afforded these Zechuyos. And now we just had a discussion in the Gemara whether or not when you sell it, are you selling also the Zechuyos as well? And amazingly, the Gemara says yes. Amazing. Amra Papa, I'm on the Gazal Dikla Mechavre Vekale, Apagav the Shajimara Lara, Lara Dide, Lo Kane. And so now we get to fly through these Gemaras. These Gemaras now are going to be discussing more on the topic of Shinui. In the opening Mishnah here in the ninth paragraph of Baba Kama, you steal an item, you make a Shinui in the item, you have acquired the item. The item now is yours. Obviously, you have to make restitution on the item that which you stole. You have to now pay for its value, going back to the time of Shasak Zela. But the item now is yours because of Shinui. Now the Gemara is going to give just simple voice to what does Shinui look like? What does a change make look like? I steal wood and I make a kli out of wood. That's a Shinui. That was the Mishnah's example. In fact, it's such a pronounced Shinui. Remember the first question the Gemara asked? And that is, well, you have to make a kli? How about you just shave it down to 2x4s? Isn't that a Shinui? That was the Gemara's question. And by the way, the Gemara's answer is yes, of course that's a Shinui. Okay. Anyway, I take a tree. I uproot it from my friend's property. I replant it on my property. Gemara says that's not a Shinui. My taima, mikara dikla mikre, v'hasha nami dikla mikre. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's not a Shinui. Because what was it? It was a tree. What is it now? It's a tree. Nothing changed. Location changed, but that's not a Shinui. Dikla vav guve lokane, hasha mia guve de dikla mikre. What if I steal a tree and I cut it up? But not, I don't shave it down to 2x4s. I just chop it up. Interestingly, the Gemara says, that's not a Shinui. Okay. If I had an opportunity to guess, I'm not entitled to an opinion, but if I had an opportunity to guess, I would have guessed wrong. Right? The Gemara says it's not a Shinui. Why? Guve didikle mikre. Chopped up pieces of wood, but in other words, but it's still the same. Guve v'avdunik shure kane. The Gemara says, now, if I was chopped to pieces of wood, but now I shave it down to 2x4s, that's a kinyan. That's a Shinui. Kshuri Ravave Vabdina Kshuri Zutre Lo Kane. So Abdina Kutsutsaisu. Lo Kane. If let's say there were 2x4s and I made them into 1x2s, so the Gemara says that's not a Shinui. Abdina Kutsutsaisu. So let's say I made beams out of them, so then you are Kona, meaning that is considered a Shinui. Amarav Aiman de Gazulave Vabdina Hutse. Let's say I steal palm fronds from my friend, and what do? I rip off the fronds. So mikaru luave mikre v'hashta hutse. Okay, now in other words, that's absolutely shinui. Hutse v'abdina chufya. Let's say I steal just the leaves and I make a broom out of it. Right, Rashi over here says a scuba. That's a broom in Spanish. So chufya. So abdina chufya kani. E mikaru hutse v'hashta chufya. So the Gemara says so that is in fact considered a shinui. If let's say I take a broom and I make a rope out of it, please don't ask me. I'm not totally sure what I'm talking about. But anyway, you can undo the rope. Apparently the rope is some sort of lattice. It's some sort of weave. You can undo it and you can go back to to what it was before. That is a shinui achoz libriaso. It's not a shinui. By Rav Papa. And we'll end today with a couple of halachas regarding dalaminim. Of course, we're talking about palms. We're talking about palm fronds. And so, a short discussion regarding a kosher lulav, a pasul lulav. This discussion, we are going to be doing it so quickly, it's obviously a much longer discussion regarding the eligibility of what lulav is kosher for dalet minim. So nichlaka atiyomis, let's say the top twin leaf. This is a lengthy discussion. What is a tiyomis? I'm going to offer one pshat. Doesn't mean that's correct pshat, but it is a pshat. So let's say the top twin leaf, let's say, gets split. So what would be the halacha regarding lulav, kosher or pasul lulav? So Tashma, Damar Rav Masan, Damar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Nitla Tiyomis Pasul. Well, I know that the Tiyomis is ripped off, so it's going to be Pasul. Now, my love, Huad de Nechlaka. So now, can't we make the following logical leap as we turn the page? And if ripping off the top leaf is a Pasul, so then splitting it is also a Pasul. The Gemara says, Lo, Nitla Shani Da Chasole. I don't understand. What's the comparison? If you rip off the top leaf, so then it's Chaser. You're missing. And the Dalet Minim have to be there in its complete form. Ah. So
Tiyomis is a twin.
Not right. That's correct. Correct. So the Igad Armi Tashma Damar Rav Masan Damar Rav Yishuv Ben Levi Nechleka Tiyomis Nasa Kemishin Itla Pasul Shma Mina. The Gemara says, okay, but in the second version, the Nechleka is the same as Nitla. If removing the top leaf is going to be a Pasul, Nechleka, having it split, is also going to be a Pasul as well. Okay, good. Now, as far as halacha lamais is concerned, they just simply do not have the time, right? Nor right now the amount, the material necessary. Tosfos over here. You want to start on this discussion? You can see the bottom Tosfos over here, the two bottom Tosfos in Sadi Vav and Aleph, who discusses this at some length. Anyway, there is obviously a halacha about the top leaf of the lulav, and it has to be held together. But again, that's only the beginning of the halacha. We're going to go on. Amar Papa Haimandegazo Afra Mechaver Vavdalavinta Lokani Maitaima Hadamashwale Afra. You steal dirt. You make bricks out of it. That's not a shinui. It's not going to be kona. Why? Because you can easily go ahead and scrape the bricks down to back to dirt. It's a shinui echoz de labriaso. Levinta Vavde Afra Kani my Amar Dama Hadar Vavile Levinta. However, if I steal a brick, and after I stole a brick, I grind it down to dirt, so now that's a shinui, and that's kona. Now, what are you going to argue? I can make it a brick again. That's true. Panim chadashus balakan. That's a new brick. It's not the same brick. I'm Rav Yosef Haiman de Gazon Nascha Mechaver Vavid Zuzi Lokan in Maitama Hadar Avile Nascha. I take a raw piece of metal. I mint it into a coin. That's not a shinui. Why? Because as much as I minted it, I can unmint it. Bring it back to its original state. Zuziv avdinu nascha kani. My amart hada avelei zuzei. Panim chadoshes ba'ol lakan. If, on the other hand, I take a coin and I unmint it, I deface it. So there, that's a shinui. What are you going to tell me? We're going to be able to mint it again? Yes, but that's a new coin. Panim chadoshes ba'ol lakan. If let's say it's a really black coin, in other words, it was oxidized and it's black. And now what do? I shine it up. So that's not a kinyan. So the it can become oxidized again. If on the other hand, it was a new coin and somehow I blacken it. In other words, there must be some sort of process where you could do it. So the so then you're kona. What can I make it new again? So the Gemara says, "Made yade shechimayhu." So the Gemara says, "No, it's the fact that it was blackened you can never take that fully away." So in other words, it's a shinu she'enu chozel
lebriaso. Here comes a tshuva, which you might find one of the shadows of nowadays modern day technology with the chemicals.
Yeah, correct. Good. Zehakal. What am I going to do? Am I going to fight the time and the music? No. Not going to fight the time and not going to fight the music. We're going to pause over here. Really wanted to get to the Mishnah. We did good. We did really good today. Okay, Adkan, we're going to pause over here.